This morning I'd like to bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll tell you, it's been fun. It's been real good. I've been in the office for a month now and can honestly say that I have zero complaints. I know maybe a year from now we might change our story, hey? That's just human nature. Wonderful. And the one thing that I hope is last week I was a little zealous with my input on the visitation part. Don't feel that I'm going to come pounding on your door at 9 o'clock in the morning. I like to use that as an emphasis so that you would understand how much I truly do want to get to know each and every one of you. And so please take that seriously, that it would be good if we could set up something in the morning, unless I have coffee in my hands. But anyways, our sermon text for today. I feel led to a different part of Scripture. But we're going to go from the Old Testament, 2 Kings, a very interesting account. And we're going to read chapter 5, and we're going to go verses 1 through 19. And we're going to read this in Jesus' name. 2 Kings, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, continuing in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now Naaman, a captain of the host, his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord hath given him deliverance unto Syria. He also was a mighty man in valor, but he was. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told, said, the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and to go I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and he took silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. Oh, I forgot to say stand up. You guys are good. And he brought the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith to set Naaman, my servant, to thee. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes. And he said, am I a god, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard clothes, and that he sent unto the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he will come and know that there is a prophet in Israel. With his horses and his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall be clean. But Naaman was wroth. And he went away, and he said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand leper. Are not Abana and Parphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters in Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So and the servants came near, and spake unto him, and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much more wash and be clean? Then he went down, and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little. And he returned to the man of God, and he and his company, and all that came, and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing from thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth, behold, whom I stand, I will receive none. And he used. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules of the burden of earth? For the servant will henceforth offer unto any other gods but the Lord. And in this thing the Lord pardon the servant, that when the master goeth to the house of Raman, leaneth on thy hand, and bow himself in the house of Rimmon, that when he bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, that the Lord pardon. And he said unto him, go in the peace. And he departed from him a little way. Amen. Please be seated. You'll have to excuse me, I'm not up. And even when I was outside with talking with Mark, I asked him, I mean, this is how low church I am. I asked him straight out, I said, well, do I still have them stand? Technically, I believe it's the gospel that we stand for. But anyways, Mark did assure me that I should. Mark Thunberg. And I blew it. But anyways. And what I think is so great about this account is that it's found within the Old Testament. To show the heart and the love of our God. You have this individual that is diseased. He's diseased to the point where if he went in public, most likely he would cover himself up, that people would not see the disease. Someone that has such great high favor that the people around look at him as a great hero. But he's a great hero to the Syrians. Disease. And so when now they go out and they do their battles and they have the little skirmishes going out into parts of Israel in different areas. They take this young maid. They take this young girl and they bring her back as part of their property. And their property they take and they give that she may have a servant. And to be honest, this is a little slave girl that was taken out of the heart of Israel. And given to foreign, not for a place of prestige, but to serve. To serve unclean people. The first thing, that's the fact of the heart of this young girl. Because sometimes in life, we feel we get dealt a bad hand. Sometimes in life, we feel like things aren't going the way that we should. We're going to rebel. But the wonderful part about this young girl's heart is that even where she was, in the straits that she was in, she serves God. She becomes a missionary. She is a missionary in a strange land. Not a missionary by choice even. She was kidnapped. Have you ever found yourself in a position or in a place that you feel you don't need to be in and you shouldn't be in? Heart of Christ and still serve? Some of us pastors have a hard time with that. I do. Sometimes we get in, I shouldn't be so honest, but you know, that's just the way it is. This is below us. That's how foolish I can become. This young girl had the heart of a Christian. No matter what her circumstance was, she represents her God. And she turns around and she sees Naaman struggling with his leprosy, with his disease. And he tells his wife straight out, you know what? If he could encounter the prophet that's in Israel. She didn't say, encounter the king that's over in Israel. The prophet. He'd be healed. This report is given to Naaman. Naaman now goes to him. And he turns around and he says very plainly to him, he says, the king shares with him. I believe it was Ben-Hadad. He says, go. He says, and for you to have the ability to go, that's what the go to go means. For you to have the ability to go, I am going to give you a written letter. And not only am I going to give you a written letter with a lot of goods to bring to him as a gift that he may be healed. One that I think is quite interesting is blessed by the Lord, Naaman was, to work within Syria, to have great victories for Syria. Sometimes we have a tendency to think, well, you know, God is only the God of me. Or the God of my group. He is the Lord of the earth, the creator of all. To him where he will go and where he will not go. I cannot depict to him who he will bless and whom he will not bless. God is God. As much as my God and I am not. So he sends him. He sends him and he departs to Israel and he brings with him, Naaman does, with his group of people, 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. We may not think much of that. You know, I was just talking with someone in the entry with this individual, and we were talking about the fact of my little collars here are kind of wrinkled. And I'm trying to press them down all the time because you get self-conscious. And the discussion came, is because my even when you iron them, it doesn't come out perfect when you take it out of the closet. I bet I'm not the only one with a problem. But in this time, in this day and age, clothing was extremely, being offered was huge. A pile of silver, a pile of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. But anyways, and now he brings this letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, and this he, that what? That you mayest recover him of his leprosy." Now the king flips out as a direct point to cause a war or a struggle, because to him this is incomprehensible. How in the world is this? Have you had that in your life? Maybe you haven't been asked to heal anybody. Maybe you haven't been asked to even heal yourself. But there can be a great asking that you would take care of. And if you're anything like I am, you turn around and you start panicking, thinking, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to do this? Wonderful helper as I have. I pray you do. A Christian mate is a beautiful gift. Because oftentimes God uses my helpmate. And he allows her to say to me, you aren't going to change anything. You aren't going to fix anything, but God will. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this king was just as human as I will ever be. When he saw this, even though there were many things that Elijah and Elisha have got, he forgot about the power of God found within Israel. And he turns around in his own panic and he starts saying, how am I going to fix this? This guy, me, to cause a war with me. When we lose sight of the living Christ in our lives, that God has given not only to his believers, but in reality to this world, we become overcome with fear. Here he's like, am I answer God? No, the answer is no, he is not a God. Can I take and make a man live? No, there's nothing that he could do to change this. And actually rents his clothing. He's so desperate and so taken over by grief, he shows this remorse and the struggle that he has. He says, "Syria, he's just trying to cause a fight. The Syrian king wants to come over here and cause a war with us." But I think it's interesting, in verse 8, when Elijah, the man of dealing with the aspect of to the man of himself, it is Elijah, the man of God. When he heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent to him saying, "Wherefore?" And you can almost hear the tear. You can almost hear the sarcasm. Why are you doing that? Why are you getting so worked up? I mean, I can hear it in my own understanding. Don't you know? You're going about this wrong. Why is fear consuming you? Brothers and sisters in Christ, this question gets asked to me. Struggles and in your difficulties. Why does fear consume us? Because we look to the sinful man. When is fear overcome? When we consumed. These individuals were consumed with fear until the man of God stands up and says, why? Look at David. David, when he encounters Goliath. We teach these stories to our Sunday school kids, but do we understand this is the same living God that we worship? Jesus Christ himself, take God come to earth, taking our place. This is the victory that we live in. Elijah, why? David said to the Israelites of his time, why are we afraid? Who can mock? Give me a stone and we'll take care of this deal because God will see me through. I don't know what you're facing. Sicknesses, if you're facing. I don't know if you're facing adulteries. I don't know if you're facing addictions. I don't know if you're facing huge handle and what you're circled with. I don't know what your circumstance is, but the one thing that I do know, and that I can stand in this pulpit and proclaim to you, is that I know God, and I know He will help each and every one of us through it. Sometimes that's not enough for me. I remember one time, very straightforward, sitting there, and I was kind of bemoaning about my difficulties, you know, because we're good at that as human beings. And I remember Pastor Jay was sitting there at the front of his desk there, and he looked at me, he said, "Brother," he said, "do you pray about the goofy?" "Of course I pray about these things." He said, "Well, how do you pray about them?" And I thought, well, that's kind of an odd question. And I said, "Well, I just pray for this." "Different. Why don't you pray differently? Why don't you pray that God will get you through it, that you may learn what God's not on vacation, people. He knows exactly what's going on in our lives, and He cares. He cares so much that He takes our place in the judgment. He cares about your business. He cares about your health. He cares about your family. Father, pray to your Heavenly Father that we may go through what we have to go through, but most of all, that we may learn what He is teaching us in and through these. Give me cancer. He didn't. I have a fallen body. I live in this flesh, and I will die another day. Cancer, to glorify Himself and to teach me so many lessons that I never in my life could ever learn by not going through. Our God, may we know for ourselves that we won't live in fear like this king, so that we may also glorify Him and encourage. Well, so when Elijah hears about this, he says, "Send him over here. Send him over here for what purpose? So that he may know who speaks in behalf of God, not men. There is a prophet." See, prophet, we turn around oftentimes and we have this thing of saying, well, they're just like fortune tellers. The word prophet discerns. It's also a proclaimer. An individual that proclaims in behalf of God. Not man's ideas. Send him on over. And so then Naaman came with his horses and with all his pomp and circumstance. And he came and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha, he doesn't feed the ego of Naaman. Sometimes I want God to feed my ego. But God knows. Elijah doesn't feed the ego of Naaman. He shows Naaman that God will work in ways that he never thought. That he never thought. I thought that. I remember, and I hate to keep going back to this whole cancer thing, but I learned a lot through this. I remember when I got cancer, one of the first things I thought is, earthly, I have a lot of wealthy friends. From the East Coast to the West Coast to Michigan, I thought, we got her. God provide for Judy and I in ways that I never imagined. And do you honestly know, at least to my acknowledgement, I never received a check. Now, I'm not saying that in a negative way. I would have grabbed the pride, probably, if I saw one of my wealthy friends send me a check. But we received large amounts from average people. We received checks from all over the country, poor farmers, that were average contractors, widows. This congregation stepped up huge, never heard of, gave. God did not build up my ego that Jesse had so many great friends and powerful friends that he'd be taking care of. God showed me that he'd take care of me through the widow's mite. That is our God. Naaman, his ego was not built up. Elijah said Jordan 7 times. The Jordan is not a clean river. It's murky, it's dirty. Not something that we'd think of to bring restoration. Interestingly enough, this is the same river that Jesus is baptized in. Go dunk yourself in there 7 times. He says, and you're going to be clean. Elijah himself didn't even go to the door. He sends a servant out to do this. Naaman was ticked off. so important, being sent by the king of Syria, by dealing with the aspect of coming into foreign land, that this Elijah, being a wonderful man that he would, he'd come out and do something religious for him. He performed something for him. It's not in the religious acts. It's not in the performances of men. It is in the Word of God. Who would ever think that my sin debt would be paid by God giving up His own life? It wasn't paid. My religious doing on my part. This makes no sense to the world. This makes no sense to the religions of the world. For God so loved the world, He crucified Him. Because I needed crucifying. He crucified Him because it's not in the religious acts. It's not in pomp and circumstance. It's in what I hate to call, but yet it is so true, the simplicity. Is that enough? Is the finished work of Jesus Christ enough? It may be called, but it was never simple in its undertaking. It was never simple in its cost. For He laid His own life down in your great religious acts. A total act of service. And so then Naaman is ticked off about this. He says, I figured He'd come out and do something great and religious. And I'd be healed in the name of His God. He says, we have better rivers. Better rivers were from. The river in Damascus is actually Steen River. But his servants came near him and he called him father because it was like a kind of a tutelage for him. He very much would look elder in his icon. He turns around and he said, you know, father, if this prophet had told you to do some valiant thing, wouldn't you? Yes. Because it would be something that I feel I could contribute to. It would be something that I feel I've earned, that I've had. It'd be some sort of tie where I can turn around and say, this is what I've done for my God. Therefore, my God has rewarded me. I remember years ago hearing quite often they'd say, what have you done for your God? I crucified Him. I crucified Him. That is what I've done. He says, if He asked you to do some great thing, you would have done it. He says, yeah, sure enough, I would have. And so then he turns around and he says, then why not do this? Will you? God requires of us. Believe. Trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that, my brothers and sisters, to understand and know the redemption of Jesus Christ is what God is satisfied in. This is my beloved Son. So he goes and he listens. He listens to this servant. He lays aside his pride. And he listens and he enters the gift that God gives him. Not that Elisha gives him, that God gives him. And he comes out restored. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the same for us. Enter into that understanding and that communion of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. We also receive that redemptive work that is imputed to us. May we always live in the liberty, the freedom of Jesus Christ and Him alone. May we be missionaries. May we represent Him even when we're uncomfortable. May we lay aside our pride and receive what God offers also, as this Syrian leader does at the end of our text. Turn around and give honor and glory to God. For there is that is worthy. We are blessed. Blessed beyond measure. Because God loves us. And that's that. Rejoice in it. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your week. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this opportunity to gather around Your word today. We ask that you would continually remind us each and every day of that powerful gift that you have given to this world and allow us to be ambassadors, in other words, representing that and that alone, Jesus Christ in him. Father, not to be seeking to build up kingdoms to ourselves, but rather, Father, laying down all arms and surrendering to your will, what you want. We pray, Father, as Brother Mark has, that you would have an impact in the hearts of the children and the hearts of the teachers. We pray, Father, also that you would give safe traveling mercies to all of those that are traveling to these classes, that, Father, you would be traveling there and back. Father, we do understand that in our bulletin there are many individuals that are going through difficult times, and we pray that you would be with them, strengthen them, and encourage them. We even ask us, Vander West and their family, we ask that you would bless them and strengthen them as they have a long road ahead of them. Father, not to single him out also, there's many others that are going through difficulties, and we pray, yes, to one another, the difficulties that we face, that not, Father, to have rumors, but to encourage. For we are your children. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us unto us. Lord, lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.